enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about an issue that I believe every Christian, every conservative, every patriot ought to be passionate about. And that is, should we ban the Bible? Now, I understand that's a pretty rhetorical question, because most people understand, most Americans, most citizens today recognize that back in the early 60s, Madeline Murray O'Hara, an atheist, had the atheist organization file suit against the U.S. Department of Education, and as a result of that, the atheist won the battle that you could not have prayer in the classroom, and the Bible was already banned, and then you couldn't have prayer in the classroom. And that's been the basic, if you please, pinpoint of what is being said in so many cases where the Bible is talked about in the public school system. Right here in Duval County, I'm looking at a headline. Christian Education Group planning Bible classes for Duval County Schools students during class time. An Ohio-based Christian nonprofit is preparing to launch the Bible classes for the public school system in Duval County. It goes on to talk about LifeWise Academy, which already operates in 30 states with thousands of students. It is the model allowing parents to sign their children up for a weekly off-the-campus Bible transition instruction during the school day. The program is protected. Listen, the program is protected on the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that created what's known today as release time religious instruction. Keep in mind, release time, religious instruction. Federal law permits the practice as long as classes, listen, are privately funded, they take place off the school property, and students have parental permission. Now, I'm reading this where it says, local clergy members say they fear the program could take away from valuable instruction time in a district already facing attendance challenges. Quote, this is clergy. I'm going to tell you who that clergy is. And I would love to hear from the media, local clergy members, plural. But I find only one that's vocal about it. When the church, this is what that one says, when the church and the state get married, whatever birth does not look like Jesus. Whatever's birth does not look like Jesus. The Reverend Rebecca Hutto says, they're separate from reason because each faith practices their religion in their own way. Now, let me give you a little history on Rebecca Hutto. Headline about her. Director of Interfaith and Cultural Programs. Rebecca Hutto is Minister of the Word and Sacrament, the Word and Word of Sacrament, in the Presbyterian Church USA, having previously served in churches, North Carolina, New York, etc., etc. In New York, listen to this, she was actively organizing interfaith programs, including children's programs, being taught in Muslim Sunday schools, and the development of the Cordoba House, that is a Muslim center, and interfaith Bible studies with Park Avenue Synagogue. After moving to Jacksonville in 2020, Reverend Hutto has been active with local Daughters of Abraham Book Club and most recently the Executive Director of Interfaith Jacksonville. Study at the Interfaith Jacksonville. It's the most watered down, mixed up, messed up, so-called religious juxtaposition I've ever seen in my life. And by the way, her husband happens to pastor one of the most liberal, progressive, woke Baptist churches in our city. Liberal would not overly describe it by any stretch of the imagination. So we have James that we're talking with. We're talking with him just before the news break. James, my question is, I understand, I have no reservation, no question, no problem with this group teaching the Word of God. Now, generally speaking, an organization like that's going to be careful not to bring in denominationalism, but simply teach what the Word of God says. There might be some ruffle of feathers at some point in time, but I have no problem with that. My question is, why should the Board of Education, should the Duval County Board of Education have any say-so on this organization, what they teach, where they teach it, and how, if it is off campus and not on campus? Do you have answers to that? Have you asked the school board that?
Yes, I do, and there's going to be quite a few people, I think, that'll show up Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. But Eric Metaxas wrote in his book, A Letter to the American Church, I think one of his lines was, to declare any truth that steps away from God's love is to speak no truth at all, as well as to step away from the one who is truth. And this lady is obviously, you know, gifted in something other than Jesus and the love of God. Because she's preaching a bad message, and it's blasphemy. And to get people to oppose to teaching God's word, and as you said, maybe not a specific whether it's Protestant or Christian or Catholic or Presbyterian or Baptist, but to teach God's word to people, I don't think they should have to take them out of school. I think that schools ought to have it. And so
yes.
My advice to anybody listening would be, first of all, make sure that you get really involved in school board, because as elections come up, the radical left is going to try to get people in place that, and maybe not mean-spiritedly, just complacent or half asleep at the wheel, are going to get people in there that love a lifestyle that you and I know is wrong. And, you know, mixed gender locker rooms and bathrooms and peace and love, and we're all going to live together, and it's going to be Sodom and Gomorrah 2.0. So there's things that we need to wake up to as believers and stand up and speak up about, as you've been doing for years and years. I know a good friend, a doctor with 3 earned theological degrees, that's written 2 great books, one in 2011 and one in 2013, about a specific religion. Is Islam tolerant? And the reader should get the books. One is The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, and not in a mean-spirited way, but if you guys look at the numbers, there's a clock that runs like a deficit clock in America, and it's the growth of the Muslim population in the world. Mm-hmm. When Dr. Youngblood wrote his first book, it was 1.3 million worldwide. Now it's well over 2 million. It's like 2.3 or 2.4. And he maintains in his book, okay, I'll give it to you, that maybe only 1% is radical Islam and is saying horrible things about us just because of our country and our God. And they don't want us. They want us to be unalive. This is a family show. But anyway, if it's only 1% of 2.4 billion, that's 20,400,000. That's a lot of people. And out of those people that were led into America, there's things that we need to worry about. The first one is getting our schools to have the Ten Commandments, as the pilot buddy said, and I agree 100%, and Bibles in every classroom if they want it. Not forced, but if they want it, and if the school and the school board and the parents want it, then it should be in there. And then as a kind of a safety on that, parents should try to make alliances with the local churches to get them to let homeschool moms pool their resources and to open up their classrooms and open up their space to teach classes. What a way to get membership, what a way to get people focused on Jesus, to show plainly the love of God. And to help our brothers and sisters, and whether they're believers or not, maybe they'll be exposed. And the same thing with Muslims. I mean, what was Muhammad's claim to fame? He flew a donkey from Jerusalem to Mecca. and the donkey spoke. And who was his witness? Nobody was his witness. Again, I don't know. I'm new at this. I'm a kindergartner. But I love the Lord our God and the fact that he sent his son to die for our sins. And I think that this is a religion that's a loving, forgiving, edifying, unbelievable way to go, period. There's no other way.
James, let me give you a little tidbit and then ask you to respond to it. And then also we'll talk about the fact that in our public schools, you touched on it but didn't go into depth, we have the gender-affirming care. We have it not necessarily in Duval County, but public schools in general, where school counselors, school principals, school teachers will counsel a child to have an abortion without the parent's knowledge. The school must have a written permission from the parents to give a child an aspirin, but yet in the school, public school system, they can be secretly transgendered and or an abortion given to that child. And yet somehow, some way, we have a mindset that the schools had the authority to do that, and I believe that's a carryover with the mindset in Duval County that we, the school system's going to have an authority over what he said. Let me read to you what the school board superintendent, the superintendent of schools in Duval County, says. Good afternoon, principals. Based on some of the questions we have recently come into our office regarding religious organizations offering to provide your students religious instruction off campus during the school day, I'm providing the following important information for your reference and action. Advertising or promoting religious activities on school property must be carefully regulated in order to maintain the district's position of neutrality. Then it goes on to give the school board policy number, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Please review these policies to ensure continued compliance. In accordance with Florida Statute 1003.21, students may be released from the school regular instructions to take place off school premises during non-instructional time, providing there's a written permission from the parents. You receive a request from a parent regarding the release time for religious instruction. Please contact your regional superintendent for additional guidance before taking any action. There's a real carefully worded instruction given. And yet schools provide abortion, transsexual counseling, promote the gender care, as it's called, and now concerned about how the Bible is taught and where it's taught. Now, keep that in mind for just a moment. Oklahoma State School Superintendent issued a directive June 2024 to require every teacher in classroom grades 5 through 12 to have a Bible to teach from in the form that is necessary. Oklahoma Supreme Court temporarily blocked the order. Louisiana House Bill 71 passed in June 2024, requiring the Ten Commandments in the King James Version be displayed in every school classroom statewide. Arkansas Act 573 passed and signed into law April 2025 mandates the Ten Commandments displayed in all public school governmental buildings. Texas 2024 passed a law that Education Board in Action says that public elementary schools are to adopt a Bible-based curriculum learning program, which includes teaching from Jesus, the Golden Rule, parables, and the Psalms. State mentioned in proposal. Idaho bill introduced early 2025 seeks to require daily school-sponsored reading in the classroom. Previously, states of Arkansas, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas has allowed Bible studies elective permissible under the state law. And it goes on and on and on. So my question is, James, what do we need to do, in your opinion, for Duval County, for us to not just have where they're going to question and perhaps eventually acquiesce to allow this group to come in, Christian group to come in, and take kids off campus and teach them? What does it take, in your opinion, in Duval County, for us to be able to get inculcated in the system that students can be taught the Bible in a public school setting on public school property, and it is not a matter of the wall of separation, church and state? Our previous caller talked about that, the wall of separation, church and state. There's no such thing. In fact, right. James, you can go to, what is it, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. King Uzziah was going into the temple to offer sacrifice. The chief priest and the 80 other priests said, don't do it. That's not your responsibility. It's ours. He did anyway. God killed him. That's the best evidence of water separation in church, where the state cannot come in and involve in any fashion what is done religiously, morally, ethically, and biblically. And yet we have Duval County wanting to control what is taught, how it's taught, and when it's taught. What say you?
I say that the liberal agenda and the radical liberal movement has been more effective now in a boisterous, you know, very uncompliant way and very disruptive and rude and crude about it. But they've struck from different places, not physically, but shown up and pushed the right buttons and then accused people of being, you know, ultra-conservative or radical right or this sort of thing. And Christian nationals are trying to twist the words and take Isaiah 5:20, you know, that calling dark light and light dark and bittersweet. And they twist it around and make people question and rub their heads. We just got to go back to God's word. And what I say is don't trust them. Get involved. And the main problem, the biggest thing that I think that we can do is if you're not involved with a pastor that's willing to roll up the sleeves and get involved and do something, you're in the wrong church. Mm-hmm. And if you are, then have your men's group, women's group, have the people that are in that, get involved in your local community and meet like-minded people, your neighbors, and discuss these issues and say, do you think that we can make a difference? And pray about it and then come together and have a plan. Depending on how many people show up at a school board meeting is going to be how many minutes you get. A lot of people, I understand, are afraid of public speaking. It's not you. If you're going to be used as a vessel of Christ, you're asking the Lord to impart the wisdom and give the words properly chosen and spoken on his behalf. We're adopted into we're co-heirs in the kingdom of heaven because we're children, sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is not you, and this is not about a pride thing or pride cometh before the call or the fall. We want humble servants. Again, go back to that Micah, I think it's 6:8. He tells us what to do and who to follow, and it's Jesus. To God be all the glory always, not sometimes, not occasionally, not when it's convenient, always. And I think that there's a huge answer to it. But again, we've got to pull our friends and family together that are willing to do something about it, to stand up and show up. Because unless we do, little by little, here's a perfect example. 3 days ago, I think it was, and check me on this, listening audience, a person was arrested in the United Kingdom for being outside of a mosque and saying, we love bacon. And the Brits said, the English said, we do love bacon. And they said that that was inflammatory hate speech, and they arrested him. I'm not making that up. Wish I was.
Yeah, and that's true. I've read the article. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. And if you look at the number of Muslims that now are government officials in the United Kingdom, it's not going to take long to figure out that, hey, that's really a big shift with a small percentage of society. And by the way, that's going to happen here if we're not careful. It's almost happening in New York City New York City right now has got a socialist Muslim.
It's on the fast track for that. And James, let me ask you the question. You're more familiar with our present school board leadership. Do we have enough conservative, quote, Christians on the school board to make change in the direction
No, sir. No, Dr. Youngblood. We're on the cusp right now. We've got a couple of decent folks, but they're getting ready to get out. Their terms are going to be up, and part of the focus on the conservative group that I'm involved is trying to identify, promote, and then encourage people to do it. Because here's a newsflash. Most people don't want to get into politics. Why? Because they're slimy, slimy people. A lot of them aren't qualified to do anything else, so they get into politics and get some money behind them. Then there's great people occasionally that get in there. But a lot of the people that get in there, as we know, and that's why we're so cynical as a society right now, they get corrupted. They might go in the door and be godly people. And unfortunately, they get a boat shows up or a car or, hey, we got some tickets to a show or we got this or that. And the next thing you know, a little bit of something shows up somewhere and their bank account changes and they're bought and they're compromised. And unfortunately, it's true. And here's a good way to check that. Why do you think that the Republicans aren't going after the Democrats that have broken the law, that they've got dead to rights now breaking the law. They've done something illegally that if you or I did it, Dr. Youngblood, I keep going back to because that's my grew up in the banking industry and mortgage industry. And if I commit mortgage fraud, there's a document in every closing that involves a loan right now, whether it's Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA, VA, Ginnie Mae, you know, Government National Mortgage Association backed loan. There's a document in there from the FBI that says the FBI investigates mortgage fraud. Well, we all know, I won't have to name them, but there's three people right now that they know committed mortgage fraud.
Yes.
They said something was an owner-occupied residence. It wasn't. They said somebody was a spouse that wasn't. I mean, ridiculous, flat-out lies, but yet crickets. Now, the reason that my thought is that the Republicans aren't going after them like rabid dogs is because they're almost as dirty as they are. So, you know, again, how are you going to say we've got to prosecute these people? If they committed offense, they're entitled to a fair trial and a jury and so forth, but and we can't go on a witch hunt and so forth. But if they've done something wrong and they know it, they should prosecute them. There's no way to correct this ever if it's not. And unfortunately, I think a lot of Republicans would go to jail, too, if they started to check and dig into it.
Unfortunately,
so
you're
that's
correct.
That's the problem.
And one of the things, James, if I can jump in and let's wrap up some thoughts in this fashion. The bottom line is, from my perspective, most of the parents today have abandoned the church. They've abandoned the Bible preaching, Bible teaching, New Testament church. The only potential for that child to hear the word of God is for it to be taught. And some faith cometh by hearing and hearing by. The little by is the word, Greek word dia, D-I-A, means the access, the avenue. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so I'm thankful for that being pushed. I'm thankful to see state after state after state introducing and passing legislation that becomes law that allows the Bible to be taught in the public school system and to have it available to those that want to have it available. And so my bottom line problem that I have, very frankly, is the parents, the family, need to be in the local New Testament church. Parents need to go with their children to church and not send them to church. But what we're seeing is because the vacuous void is taking place in our churches with the apostasy taking place, the only hope that we have, I'm looking at an article or the headline says 3 killed, 20 injured in Minnesota, where a mass shooting has already taken place today. And I've said for many, many, many years, and we're seeing more and more of these so-called mass shootings. What's the promulgation of that? What's causing it? Because there's a lack of a biblical concept. If we don't do anything, but just as Marshall said, and just as you've touched on, going back to the Ten Commandments and the simplistics of what the Word of God says. But the Word of God is a closed book to most of our millennials today, most of the kids that are growing up today in the elementary grade levels, because they're not being taught the Word of God, because they're not in church, not in Sunday school, not in worship service. And the numbers are dramatically being decreased. Even an article that I recently read, the major denominational organization like Southern Baptist, for the first time in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention, the numbers decreased across the nation with the number of those in Southern Baptist churches. And we're finding a major, major implosion. And unless we go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, we're going to lose it as a nation. What say you in relation to what I'd like to wrap up with is this. What instructions, what recommendations, 1, 2, point 1, 2, 3, that you would like to give that would be educational, informational, and inspirational for our listeners today?
I would tell your listeners to type in the word revival, and a lot of Baptist churches, a lot of non-denominational churches, there's a revival at hand, and then look at the age group, which will give you a lot of hope and a lot of reason to explode in joy, is 18 to 35 kind of groups that are just getting on fire, and young men, a lot of young men finally stepping up and being enthusiastic. One of my twins just got his master plumber's license, and he and his girlfriend, well, actually, I should take that back, fiance now, are in church every Sunday, and they're on fire for the Lord and talk about it all day at work. And he said, Dad, what's that verse about shutting up and get to work? I said, oh, Zach, that's 1 Thessalonians 4:1. He said, I'm going to try to get the foreman to let me put that on the side of the sleeves. What do you think? somebody's, you know, leaning on their shovel for the day. Let's get them, hey, let's get to work kind of thing. It's the youth. And that's, unfortunately, that it's come to this, because the youth are starting to figure it out and say, hey, look, if we don't make a difference, the world that we're going to that we're going to inherit, the mess that we're going to be in, is because we're seeing things decay and fall apart, and we're seeing a lack of morals and ethics. And people that are at least had at least a seed planted in them, they can't live that way. People won't sleep. They'll have, if they have a conscience, a Christ-centered conscience, you can run and you can hide. And we know how many biblical characters that, you know, one was swallowed up by a huge fish. You're not going to get away. If Jesus has chosen you and you're going to do something, it's going to happen. The whole world, I just got a book that was George Washington's farewell address, and Daniel Webster wrote a lot in there. And we start to think about, you read civilized and Christian world fast learning the great lessons. I'm reading something that's hundreds of years old, but yet these are godly men pointing to one another and saying there is hope. Do not turn your back on it. And it's happening with the youth and revival. So that's number one. There is youth and revival. Number two is some of the pastors, and again, I'll use that word remnant, are starting to be the shaving, the broken off of the few. Because how many stories in the Bible, Dr. Young Blood, do they say, no, no, the Lord's, that's too many. I want you to use the people that kneel to drink. I want you to do that. He whittled it down, because he wanted people to know it was his hand that changed things. It was his hand that was ultimately in control. And the godly men and women that then responded to that. And number three, if not us, if not you, listening audience, to call in, to go to Dr. Youngblood's church, to get involved in a class, to do something different than what you've been doing. If you want a different outcome, you've got to put different input in. Turn off the TV and pick up a book. First, Amen. The Bible. Read Galatians. Read Colossians. Read Isaiah. It's a wonderful book in the Old Testament, an unbelievable book in the Old Testament. Grab Ephesians or Philippians. Read a book. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. And what? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that the youth nowadays have the highest degree of anxiety and restlessness in their spirits, and some are medicated and this and that, and some are struggling? And you know and I know what they need. They need the great physician. They need Jesus.
Amen.
They need the
Amen.
Prince of Peace.
And one final footnote, James, before our time has totally elapsed on us, for our listeners to understand, there's no such thing as a wall of separation of church and state. So for
right,
every pastor,
exactly.
for every Christian, for every
yep.
believer, we need to stand. We need to take the authority that God's given us and use that and impact the lives for eternity. James, thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1.